Digital Arena on the app, on your smartphone, on X, YouTube, and Facebook. The Sportscast World Cup coverage.
The update presented by The Sportscast.
The Sportscast, June 19th, 2026. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all your channels, YouTube, Facebook, X, Spotify, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online digital radio. You can visit our website, thesportscast.net, or follow us on X and Instagram at the Sportscast One, and check out our app, the Sportscast for iOS. It's been over a week since the World Cup has started. The USA plays against Australia. Mexico has clinched the first team to clinch to the knockout round. And Hal Phillips is in Europe. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
My pleasure, Santi. Good to see you.
Great. So Hal, so far week one has been good. Now we're seeing What I've been seeing is that teams are able to clinch in these round two of group stage matches now.
Yeah, if you can get two wins like Mexico has, you are a cinch. But as you've seen with Canada, they have one win and one tie, and actually their goal difference is such that they are pretty much guaranteed as well. And if they can, we can get to Canada specifically, but yeah, obviously a win tonight, and the Red Sox, the U.S. will clinch a spot and have a great shot at winning the group. So, yes, things are starting to happen. But, you know, there's other broader things we can talk about from the first week I think are interesting.
Quite interesting. Some storylines, of course, older players coming in, not performing, and, of course, some star players shining, making sure to take advantage of the first match, Messi, Harry Kane, and players like that, Ronaldo not showing up. But we'll talk about Ronaldo later. Let's go to the game of the day, USA versus Australia. Obviously, the U.S. beat Paraguay last week 4-1. Everyone's saying this is the greatest U.S. team ever. They might win the World Cup type of thing. And Australia shocking the world, beating 2-0 against Turkey. We thought Turkey was a better team. And now this game is looming big, but if the U.S. wins, how they can clinch the group.
Yes, and sort of big picture, I think that week one was a bad week for the people who were anti this 48-team tournament. They thought there were going to be a bunch of teams that would not be able to put up a fight, that these games would be walkovers. That has not been the case. There have been tons of results here. Cape Verde, you know, getting a point here. Egypt getting a point off of Belgium, Qatar getting a point off of Switzerland, which is what puts Canada in such an amazing position. So there have been some blowouts, but I think that if you were against this tournament, you are against inclusion at this point, and I think that's just what FIFA wants. I got to say, I was skeptical about all these minnows coming here and putting up such a good fight, but they put up a great fight, and it keeps happening. So I'm sure that the best teams will make it to the round of 16 eventually, but it's a lot of rest too. That's the other thing with such a long tournament is that the U.S. hasn't played for a week. That's much better on the bodies of these guys who played long, long club tournaments, club competitions domestically, starting last August. So they love a week between games.
Yeah, very, very close to what, like, you know, regular season play in leagues, Premier League and all the other European leagues have a week off. That's good if you're injured. But the biggest question, Hal, of the day is, will Christian Pulisic play? There's been stories every day about his calf injury. He's training alone. Do you think he'll play today? Or do you think, hey, I mean, we got enough players on the bench to cover this and beat Australia?
I think he'll start, and I think he'll give it a go. The calf stuff is always dodgy, and you don't know quite how it's going to react after 20 minutes of running. But like you said, they've got guys who can play that position. Tim Weah may become a very important player tonight, coming in on the left side so he can take Pulisic's place, perhaps. And they have so many other attacking options. I'm not going to say I'm not worried about it, but it's not a make or break thing. It's far more interesting to me how people are getting carried away when the U.S. they play one good game in 25 years, and everyone thinks that they have a chance to go to the semifinals. They've got to show us tonight that they are a real reliable knockout stage team. Let's knock Australia out. Let's show them that we're better. And like we talked about this last week, amazingly, the Federation just managed to schedule all three of the teams in our group during the last 12 months of friendlies. So we played Australia. We beat them 2-1. It wasn't a blowout, obviously, but we are familiar with the team. The difference is that these games count, and Australia has never been riding so high. No one expected them to give Turkey a game, much less shut them out 2-0 like they did. I can't imagine that this game will be a runaway. And the first goal will be really important. If Australia should get it, they're going to be able to pack it in against us. And we're going to find out whether this team can play against, you know, two blocks of four in front of a goalie for an hour. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But a lot will depend on who scores first.
Yeah, good point. When they score first or any team, that kind of moves momentum. Anyways, Fat Mob, which I know Hal's not a huge fan of sometimes, they have Gio Reyna starting over Pulisic. I mean, you said, obviously, Tim Weah, possibly. But you think Reyna could be a possible starter for today's game?
No. And Tillman played very well. I mean, they're not going to mess with the shape of this team. It was so effective against Paraguay. They're not going to – they'll bring in someone to run off the left alongside Balogun. And that person, I can't imagine, would not be Tim Weah. So – May put Sergiño Dest on the other side. He is a left-handed player, and put Weah on the right where he often plays for his club team. So it'll be a bit of a mystery. I mean, I think that what's really going to happen here is Australia is going to basically pack the middle of this field and not let Tillman and not let Adams and McKennie run wild. What does that mean? That means that the wingers, Pulisic and Dest, are going to have an opportunity to run at guys at the corner of the Australian defense. And if they can beat those guys and get to the goal and cross, it's going to cause huge mayhem. But you can't guard everyone. And if they are left alone, I think they're going to have an advantage physically over the wingbacks that Australia has run out there. You know, in terms of, you know, defending this team, they have a really strong central striker. This dude, Torre, has been really good. And this the goal scorer from earlier, Timber, you know, I think is his name. And he, no, that's the guy from Arsenal. I can't remember. But they're potent. They can get forward. And we're going to see what kind of defense we have when we have the ball more and the other team is trying to counter us. So that's what I think is going to happen. And if we can get a goal early, I think they're going to have to come out of their shell and we could shred them, you know, for two or three goals because I think we're more talented. But yeah, you never know. That's the beauty of international soccer or any soccer. Tactically, yeah. Tactically, the weaker team can beat a better team. That's what makes it fun.
Now, it's interesting you say this because I was with someone last night at the bar watching the Mexico game, and he was saying a lot of it's luck. I mean, I'm not a huge, you know, luck type of guy that things have, you know, but I mean, I'm more like practical, but there could be that 10% luck thing where it comes in and the goal goes in or the ball goes in the net, things like that. The scores from last week was Metcalf and Eric Conde. So and he's plays in the championship with Watford. So yeah, quite something to look at. I do want to show you a quote, Hal, and you might have saw this online. I know you've been busy over there. There was an Australian player that said something that the biggest game will be against the U.S. And let me pull this up right here. He says, "I've never wanted to win a game more than this one. I can tell you that for free. I've never wanted to win a game more than I wanted to win this game against the U.S. for sure." This is from Australia's Kai Trewin on Fifth Face in the U.S. today. What do you think about that quote?
Well, I'm abroad right now in the Netherlands, and I got to tell you, our government is not popular. And I think that in Australia, that's particularly true, probably more so than the Netherlands, but maybe not. So I think that's part of it. Other than that, there was some talk earlier of some pundits, you know, the pundits from the U.S. media talking about how this game was going to be a layup And I do think that's just dumb. I think that someone probably said that in an offhanded way and it got picked up. And that has been brought back to the Australian team and they've shrugged it off. And the US team has smartly shrugged it off too. But I have no idea what's in this guy's head. But look, this is the team that is now at top of the group. And if they win this game, Australia is a bunch of heroes. They've beaten the host team. They've locked up a spot in the knockout round, probably win the group. They're still to play Paraguay, of course. So who knows what the guy's thinking. But look, it's good to be favored, and it's good to be sure of yourself. And the U.S. has been, I think they've done a good job not talking about it too much. It's Alexi Lalas and Landon Donovan doing the talking, and that makes it a little awkward. But what are you going to do? I mean, they finally got something to talk about. It's been a while.
Yeah, you're right. There's not been much about from the U.S. camp. It's pretty much saying about the calf injury from Felicis that he'll be fine. He'll be playing. But we'll see what happens. I mean, it's a lot of talk about if this injury from Felicis was before the World Cup as well. But then I did hear it happened during training before the World Cup. But
well, they pulled him out. They pulled him off after an hour of the first game. And he was the first guy to come off. And he apparently gave a thumbs up to his family saying, I'm okay. But obviously, he's not perfect. Here's another clue to what might happen. If we saw Reyna and Tillman playing together in the first game, you know, it was out of hand. It was already 3-0, 4-1. It was, I guess, 3-1 when that happened. Right. They're two creative players. Neither of them are wingers. But Tillman can obviously swing out and take people on and run into space. He's faster than Reyna. You know, maybe they do it that way. It's hard to know. And, you know, we'll never know how these games are going to shake out until 15 minutes are played and we see what the defense is going to do, how much they're going to park the bus, and what kind of matchups their defensive setup enables us to do or doesn't allow us to do. So, you know, I'm fascinated. I can't wait to see it.
Quite something. Good game, big game. And guess what? If the U.S. wins, they win the group because the whole thing, if you're have the same points in the group, the tiebreaker is if you win the head-to-head match, you get the upper hand.
There's that. Yeah. There's that. And the fact that we beat Paraguay 4-1 right. means that in order to suppose we lose to Turkey in the last game, which let's come back to that. Suppose we lost to Turkey in the last game. That's a three goal difference that will probably help us in a tiebreaker. But, right. you know, I'm 61 years old and I remember 2002 very clearly. And it's a little bit reminiscent of the opener that we played that year against Portugal. We went up 3-0 in the first half against them. In the very first game, we gave up two goals to in the second half to a very good Portugal team, but we hung on to win. Everyone was saying, "When oh, this is the new United States, they're a new force to be reckoned with, blah, blah, blah." We tied South Korea, the host, the next game, very good result. And then we lost a game we should have won to Poland 3-1. Right. And we just barely snuck into the knockout round. So take care of business tonight. And Australia can say whatever they want. And we can all sit back and watch Turkey against Paraguay because that's going to show us something too. How good is Turkey and how bad are Paraguay? We will see that by morning. And that game's on in the middle of the night for me, dude. So I will watch it on tour.
It'll be midnight my time. Might be more is morning it? Yours.
Yes.
So I think you're able to see more. Than anyways, we'll see what happens. Last night, as I was saying, Mexico beat Korea 1-0, loose Romo's goal just after halftime, but Mexico through as Group A winners. That easy. Two wins, they're in. With a match to go following a goalkeeper changer, Mexico stopper Raul Rangel made a superb double save in the 9 minutes to preserve the lead. But Mexico, the hosts, are in and group winners, Hal.
Well, they've got to be very, very pleased. They did not play particularly well against South Korea. They didn't create much. The goal that they got was lucky. The keeper came out, grabbed it, sort of fell into his own guy and lost it. And Romo was there to pocket, you know, slot it home. And they did have some great chances at the end of that game. The South Koreans did. So Mexico is fortunate. You have to be lucky and good to advance in a World Cup. And they have. That was the game out in Guadalajara. Now they're back at Azteca for the final game against Czechia. No one's giving the Czechs much chance there. So, yeah. It looks like Mexico will get the top slot out of that group, and they will get another game at home in Azteca in the round of 16. And if they win that one, I think they get another game, if I'm not mistaken, at Azteca in the round of 16, which means a lot, obviously. They could maybe be the not favored team, but still be able to pull out a victory. And if they can win the round of 16 matchup at home, they play in Miami. So that's a pretty good setup for L-Tree. They've got to be pretty pleased.
You know, one of the things that I've been talking to other people is rotation. You know, how much should you rest your players in that third game? You're qualified. You won the group. Should you rest all your starters, put your B team in? Like, what are your thoughts over that?
With a week between games, it's not as important, I don't think. But they do have players that they want to blood, if you will, at this level that they haven't yet. You know, it's not a friendly. It will be a full-blown match against Paraguay, a good side. And maybe if Paraguay gets a point off of Turkey, that's a game that Paraguay is going to feel like they can win and get it back, you know, get in as one of these third-place teams. It's sort of fitting together in a good way. I hate to be an apologist for FIFA. You know how I feel about them. But the tournament as a 48-team event, it takes longer, but the players are given more time between games. And it's sort of like with 48 teams or maybe 64, if they go to that, it's sort of a qualifier. It's another qualification round, if you will, the group play. And if you throw that open, if you think about it that way, I don't feel as bad about it. It doesn't seem so cynical to me that it's just a money grab. You are giving all of these nations a chance to show what they've got in the arena, in the games that count. And if they're not being, you know, worked to death like slaves, I don't have a problem with it, I guess. When I thought about it before, I was like, this is just not going to work. But yeah, look at Paraguay. They get a point today against Turkey, and they have everything to play for against Mexico. And if Mexico wants to rest their guys and go into the next round taking a shellacking at home to Paraguay, I don't think they're going to want to do that, Santi. I think they're going to put their team out and stay sharp.
You know, there is a third-place standings out there, and I haven't pulled it up yet, but there's a third-place standings because the top eight third-place teams qualify. So there's another standings you got to look at.
Yes, I haven't seen that. Who's winning it?
I don't know. I think I was seeing it, but I can't find it online right now. But I'll definitely pull it up in the future. But, yeah, quite interesting situation because the last time that third-place teams was in the 1990 World Cup, I believe, in Italy.
Yeah, and that was a 24-team tournament. So we're talking about third-place teams directly to the round of 16. Pardon me.
1994 actually was the last time, I bet, yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, because they had 24 back then. Then France did the 32 teams.
I'll take your word for that, but I seem to remember Ireland getting in without winning a game. I think they tied three times and finished third in the group and still got through and won a match. You know, I think they won their first knockout match against Romania on penalty kicks. Who knows? But it works. They had, you know, just to get deeper into the weeds on this, they had talked about playing 16 groups of three.
I remember that.
And it would have been quite interesting. You win that group and you go right to the round of 16, which is normal. It's a knockout round. And it would be all or nothing. But you get three, you get what? One, two, you know, you only get two games. Right. You know, if you do it that way to play in your group, and that's doesn't seem like enough if you're going to come halfway around the world to play the World Cup. So I think it works this way, and it may work even better with 64 if you give the players enough time to recover, even in the heat. And turns out that it hasn't been that hot yet, and I'm assuming that eventually at the World Cup we're going to have these hydration breaks, no matter whether the game's played, you know.
Indoor, full AC.
Indoor in Antarctica, they're showing ads, and once you do that, you can't get away from it.
Actually, Seattle today, the weather's gonna be nice. I heard from the weatherman this morning, so it should be looking good for the U.S. Canada, another host, obliterated Qatar 6-0. Jonathan David scored a hat trick as Canada destroyed Qatar 6-0 to record the nation's long-awaited first win at the World Cup. And Qatar finished the game with nine men. How?
It was bad. I felt bad for them. They really battled Switzerland bravely, and that was one of those teams that no one expected to do anything, and they got a point off a team that always goes to the knockout round of the tournament, Switzerland. But the Canadian win, congratulations to them and to Jesse Marsh. But it came at a great cost. Their midfield maestro, Kona, is out. And it was apparently a pretty grisly tackle. I watched a lot of that game, but it was on in the middle of the night. And I fell asleep and watched the rest of it in the morning, saw the goals, and there were so many of them, blah, blah, blah. But they're a very different team without him pulling the strings. And they won that game without Alphonso Davies. It would be really good if Alphonso Davies, who is their best player, their only world-class player, is available for the rest of the tournament. But now if they feel they can get, a point I think all they need is a point against Switzerland. Correct. Maybe they pack the bus and go for a 0-0 and they're through and they give Davies another bit of rest. But I'm happy. All the host teams look like they're going to get through to the knockout round, which I don't know anyone would have predicted when this tournament started.
Quite something. Well, good job for Canada. As Hal said, they just need one point to go to the next round, and they're in. And I guess they play in Canada still, so we'll see how that goes. Another game the other night, Luis Diaz helped Colombia beat Uzbekistan 3-1. He had a goal and assist. And Munoz from Crystal Palace scored. It was a good goal. He had to stretch his legs a lot to make that goal.
Yes.
And they beat Uzbekistan, which was coached by Cannavaro. I just found out the game the day of.
Yes.
And obviously that one defender from Man United, from Man City, and a good striker from the Turkish league. But good start from Colombia.
They didn't embarrass themselves. The Uzbeks, they tied the game at one, and I thought availed themselves very well. But you know, you can tell. I'm not going to tell you about Colombia. They're your team. Your number two team. But they're
world beaters now.
They're world beaters now, and they're always deep. They have Davison Sanchez, former Tottenham center back. I like them, and they've got James, who never gets old. He just
he's ageless.
Shows up at the World Cup and plays center midfield like he was born to do it. It's a fun team, and they've got that edge. They've got that sort of cutthroat edge. I like Colombia, the way they play. They want to score, and they want to not just deny you, they want to hurt you. And that's a team that I wouldn't want to play in the knockouts.
Definitely not. And also in the same group, Portugal drew with DR Congo at the World Cup. Congo has a lot of good players. I'm not sure if you saw that lineup. That of one of them from Newcastle, Wisa, and a couple of Premier League players, but they drew Portugal. What's your thoughts over that?
They've got that guy Juan Bissaka, who also played at Man U and actually is now at a different Premiership club that I'm failing to. Oh no, he plays at West Ham, so I guess he's not on a Premiership club anymore. No, they're a good team, but again, they came in. They're probably the 48th team in. They're 46 or 7. They had to win the very last playoff round to advance, and here they are drawing one of the tournament favorites. So how do you argue that team shouldn't be here and have a chance to play in the tournament? So another example of what we were talking about before. Portugal, I think, has to make a decision about Ronaldo. He hasn't scored in 9 international games right now. They have the deepest side in the tournament, in my opinion. They have 4 guys who could play that position better than him. When are they going to tell him that it's time? They may give him an hour in the next match to show that he can actually do it. After that, especially if the game is close, I can't see that they'll leave him on. They've got too many weapons. And if they don't win the next match, they're in a bit of a spot. And they, you want to win the group and get an easier round of 32 game. I don't know what they do. Ronaldo has always been this kind of anchor around their necks. He did win the European Championship in 2016 with Portugal, and he played every match in that tournament, and he was great. Of course, they won the final without him. So I think that Portugal knows they can win without him, but he's got way too many Instagram followers, Santi. I think that's the problem.
That's the problem. And YouTube, a billion, I think, subscribers on YouTube. But anyways, another good game. England go full gas to overpower Croatia in World Cup thriller. The score was 4-2. Harry Kane scored twice in the first half. Mm-hmm. And Rashford scored. So England had a good start against an older Croatia.
Yeah, it was a good game. Croatia played really well, and they were dangerous, obviously scored twice, and England pulled away from them. They had more in the tank, just to stay with the metaphor. But the team that Thomas Tuchel has chosen was very controversial. They picked a lot of young guys. They picked guys like Anderson from Nottingham Forest, who is not going to set the world on fire going forward, but he's a drone. He's an excellent drone. You need drones on a team to play in the back and just solidify things. And geez, they look pretty strong right now. And they brought on a couple of guys. They started blanking on the guy. Who is the guy that looks like Lady Diana who plays for Newcastle?
Anthony
Gordon. Thank you. They started him, and he was terrible. They brought Rashford on. He was incredible. So they seem to be deep. And but I think the most interesting part about it was that even with this, not a no-name team, but not a team full of stars, they went forward. They went forward. They went forward. They were up 3-2. They went forward more and scored a fourth. That's how you build confidence. And that's how you feel like you improve from match to match. And that's what I want to see tonight from the U.S. England showed the way. When you have a team down, you step on their throats, and that doesn't just guarantee you the points. It builds confidence in the side. So no complaints about Tuchel for this morning. I was reading the Guardian because I was curious to what they were all saying. And everyone's hailing him now as a genius. We'll see. We'll see what happens. They're in a group where now that's the toughest team by far. They should cruise. And England's looking as good as anybody in the tournament so far.
Yep, they played Panama and then Ghana, who beat Panama in the final second.
Yes.
I believe Semenyo actually made an assist.
That's right.
So that team is pretty good, by the way, as well. They got a lot of Premier League players.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, they've got IU up there. They don't have Thomas Partey playing in the midfield. He's being denied access to Canada.
Like rape charges.
Yeah, exactly. So that's not good for Ghana, but that what a win for them he's not their star man, but he does play in the middle of the field for them. He's very, very good. Played at Arsenal.
Yeah.
Legitimate talent. You keep forgetting Semenyo is on this team. They're not loaded, but man,
he was a star at Man City. He helped out that last part of the season for Man City.
They're hard to play. And I can't imagine that they'll give England a hard time, but we'll see. Partey hasn't gone home, and I don't think they're playing all their games in Canada.
No, just one game. I think they come back to the States, and that's pretty much it. I don't think they play in Mexico. I don't think
it is weird though. We don't want to get too political about this stuff. I just don't remember this happening in Qatar. I don't remember this happening in Russia. With people being denied access to the country. There's three countries here. Obviously, that's more complicated. But it's very interesting how it's shaking out here. And the referee being denied, entry by the States. It's sort of hovering around. It hasn't affected anything. But like you said before, it's sort of being outweighed by what a joyous sort of tournament it has become. The Scots are singing Sweet Caroline and ABBA tunes at Fenway Park.
And there's no beer in Boston. Did you hear that?
They drank them dry. And the Tartan Army is famous for doing that. And I think you could argue that the tournament, once it started, has been joyous because it sort of shows that we're all the same. We're all humans. We all dig this game. It's fun to go and follow your team. And there's not been any fan issues. We're going tomorrow night to see the Netherlands play Sweden. We're going to go to the fan zone in Amsterdam.
Oh, cool.
So that should be good fun.
That's awesome. Well, there you have it. A lot going on this week. And let's go into predictions for this weekend. Today, Scotland versus Morocco in Boston. Obviously, Morocco tied Brazil 1-1, and Scotland scored in the final minute against Haiti. Who do you have for this match?
I don't think the Scots can hang with Morocco ultimately, so I'm gonna say that Morocco wins that game 2-1. But if Scotland does win it, then it puts that group into just a crazy situation. Where Brazil, with a win over Haiti, is leading the group, and Scotland's right in the mix for a third place spot, which is really what they were going for. They knew that they were the third best in that group. If they can get a result tonight, or it is tonight, it'll be a huge boost, and Boston will be very very happy for their newfound friends.
Quite something. Then Brazil versus Haiti. You mentioned Brazil winning, beating Haiti a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone picks Haiti to beat Brazil. Yeah, so I'll go with Brazil 3-0.
Turkey versus Paraguay in San Francisco at midnight my time, probably more morning your time.
So, yeah, I'll get up the next morning and watch it. That's the beauty. He's got a great Airbnb here, and it's all the TV is TiVo automatically. So when we got in and realized what was happening, we're like, this is perfect. We can play golf all day. We'll watch a couple of games at night live, and then we'll get up in the morning and watch the other two over coffee. And that's what I'll do tomorrow with Turkey and Paraguay. And here's why. I want to know if Paraguay sucks. I want to know if Turkey isn't that great. And we're going to find out at least who's better than whom in this game, because we've got Turkey to finish the group. And I would love to go into that game not caring as much because we have two wins. But hey, you don't let your guard down in the group politics until you know what's what.
Third place game, I think this is going to be. So we'll see what happens in this group, Group D.
I like Turkey 2-1.
2-1. There you have it. USA versus Australia. You said USA was going to win. Give us a score.
2-0.
2-0. Simple as that. Well, there you have it. I have USA 2-0, actually. That's probably the right score. 2-1 at worst.
So the big news, too, is that I have brought my main Hearts of Pine, Portland Hearts of Pine jersey to wear at the Duke of Oz. We're going to a bar in Leiden, which is a city here between Rotterdam and Amsterdam, where we're staying. And it's an Australian bar. So wow. We're going to have to represent, and I have my red and white stripes and to wear. And nice. We're going to be polite and respectful, and hopefully we're going to get the same treatment in return.
I hope so, too. Well, there you have it. Hal, tell us about your book, Sibling Rivalry, which I just got it. It's here with me.
Show them the cover. Go. He's going to go get it. What a good man. Sibling Rivalry is about the rivalry between the two biggest teams in North America and how they've grown the game here in North America. The North American Derby. There it is. Look at that beautiful cover. Oh, it's getting your background is oh, yeah, there it is. There it is.
There you go. Live in that direction.
It's the definitive examination of the rivalry, but also the psychology of, you know, playing the game in this country and competing with Mexico for all these years and doing so badly and being able to turn that around. And on the flip side, Mexico really built its reputation of itself, its self-image as a football nation by beating up on us for 50 years. When that went away, they had to make some changes. And I think they're now growing together towards sort of a new understanding and new heights, you know, for North American soccer with all the League's Cup and the MLS and Liga MX doing so well. And I think we're going to see U.S. ownership in Liga MX soon. It's really an interesting, it's the most complicated, sort of nuanced, amazing relationship in world football. And Bloomsbury published it in March. And pick yourself up a copy. It's a perfect read for World Cup month.
Yes, and you could get the book in the link in the description. You get it there through Amazon. And yeah, you're right about the ownership. I think Ryan Reynolds owns a team. Well, I mean, he's from Canada, but I think he's also his partner's American. They own a team in Mexico. I think Necaxa.
Yeah, Necaxa, they own like 5% of it or something like that. Ooh. And the WAGs are calling it Rexacaxa.
There you have it.
It's all in the book. It's hilarity from page one to page 300. Now, it's a quick but meaty read. I think people are going to dig it.
There you have it. How can people reach you and like online, talk about the book?
The best way to reach me is right there on the screen. You'll see at siblingrivalry.halphillips. That's my handle on Instagram. That's my handle on Threads. And the book's companion site is www.siblingrivalry.halphillips.net. And they can reach me all three ways through that one handle.
There you have it. And you can reach us at thesportscast.net, our website, or thesportscast1 on X, Instagram. And we'll be live tweeting throughout the games this weekend. Looking forward to the U.S., Australia. It all comes down to today. It feels like we'll see what happens with Pulisic. But anyways, right now, we'll just enjoy it. Al, thanks for coming on.
Always my pleasure, Santi. I can't wait to see what happens tonight.
Let's go USA.